This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Berkeley Life Nitric Oxide Support Supplements. Nitric oxide is a vital signaling molecule in cardiovascular health. We all make nitric oxide in our bodies, but as we age, it starts to diminish naturally. Being proactive in maintaining nitric oxide levels is vital for healthful aging because an underperforming cardiovascular system will limit the effectiveness of any other supplementation in your regimen. Just two capsules of Berkeley Life daily provides the dietary nitrate equivalent of 7 ounces of beets and can support energy levels, maintain healthy blood pressure levels, and improve general circulation. It's the professional-grade nitric oxide supplement that I recommend and prescribe for my patients. This is only available from healthcare providers. To get your Berkeley Life professional supplements, just go to drhoffman.com/Berkeley Life. That's drhoffman.com/Berkeley Life. You can also get Berkeley Life's patented nitric oxide test strips to conveniently test your own nitric oxide levels safely and easily at home. That's drhoffman.com/Berkeley Life for Berkeley Life nitric oxide supplements. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And, you know, when originally I scheduled this podcast a couple of months ago, I was going to title it something like The Remarkable Journey of Self-Transformation of a Determined Individual. But now, amidst the current lockdown for COVID-19, the coronavirus epidemic, I'm tempted to retitle it Exercise in the Era of Coronavirus. We're going to talk to a very, very exceptional individual. I've interviewed her in the past, a couple of years ago, and she's here because she just released a new book. The book is entitled The Athlete Inside, the author, Sue Reynolds. Sue is a triathlete. She has accomplished an amazing self-transformation because a mere few years ago, she was a couch potato. She transformed her exercise routine and she transformed her life and her health and her body, in a most remarkable way. And I'll let her, tell the story. Sue, congratulations on the new book. It's, going to be released April 28th. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes, okay. And thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here. And oh my gosh, can't life change in a matter of a few short weeks?
Indeed. That being said, life has changed for you, taken a very dramatic new direction for you, not in a matter of weeks, but in a matter of a few short years. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, that's true. When I started my journey, I weighed 335 pounds and was 60 years old. And I started losing weight and ended up finishing sixth in the world at the World Triathlon Championship. So it has been really quite a journey.
Yes, it has. And, you know, we talked a little bit about, you know, some of your transformation a couple of years ago. You'd already undertaken the transformation from couch to competition. But since then, what milestones have you achieved in competition?
Yeah, so in this past season, I competed in my fourth world championship in Switzerland, and that was a lot of fun representing the United States and being able to wear the same triathlon uniform that our Olympians wear. I mean, it was just a fantastic experience. And then I tried my first Ironman 70.3 race, which is, they call it a 70.3 because you go for 70.3 miles. Took me 6 hours and 23 minutes to do that. And I qualified for the Ironman 70.3 World Championship as well. I don't think I'm going to go because I'm will be racing in the sprint worlds instead. And then I did my first Aquabike National Championship, and we can talk about Aquabike. That is just a fantastic experience where you don't run; you just swim and bike.
Indeed, but you know, take us back to the very beginning, because really, this was something that you know. At the age of 60, I think really would have been inconceivable. And you are the rare individual who's accomplished an enormous transformation. By the way, you know, not that we want to fixate on weight, because, you know, there's too much fat shaming, there's too much of a stigma associated with overweight, but I think your story is extremely inspirational. Your current weight, because you weight is a factor when you compete, and people weigh in, literally, to see what weight classification they're going to be in.
My current weight is 135, so I've lost 200 pounds.
Goodness gracious. Okay, so what was it like, and you know, what prompted you to make a change? Had you been exceedingly athletic earlier in your life, and then let things go to pot, or you know, was this a were you sort of a born again athlete?
No, actually, I had no clue that I even liked sports when I started this journey. When, you know, at age 60, when I was in school, they didn't have sports for girls. So I never had an opportunity to see, you know, to compete against other girls when I was a kid. And thankfully, all of that has changed. But no, I did not. I was not an athlete in my youth. And when I started this journey, you know, at 335 pounds, there were so many things that I couldn't do because of my size. So for me, it was never about my appearance. You know, I never started losing weight because society said that, you know, I should be thin. I just got really, really tired of not being able to do things. So, you know, I couldn't fit into a restaurant booth. And I mean, mine was so big, I couldn't even reach around my belly to tie my own shoes. Or put socks on. I mean, it was really just so limiting to be that big. And so one day I just said that's enough. And I started making different choices.
So what were your first forays into exercise like?
So in exercise, my first journey, and you know, we talk about the coronavirus, and you know, there's so many awful, awful parts of it, but there's also some interesting parts. And one is, you know, the opportunity to be able to start a new journey now with social distancing, that we have maybe more time. And my first exercise was to walk from my back door to the neighbor's driveway. So that was maybe 100 yards. And my husband went with me, and I was hanging onto his arm. I think he was probably carrying half of my weight. But I got home and I was exhausted. I mean, I like to, you know, for people who have always been thin, it's hard for them to imagine what, you know, having an extra 200 pounds is like. So I
can sort of imagine it, because, you know, I used to live in a fifth floor walk up, and, you know, I would go get the groceries or the laundry, and, you know, that extra, you know, 15 or 20 pounds that I was lugging really got me out of breath. You know, so I was thankful when I, you know, put down my load that, you know, actually, I didn't have the excess body fat to schlep around.
Right, right. It really does make a difference. If you think that a large bag of ice weighs 20 pounds, so I was carrying 10 large bags of ice with me as I walked. So when I got home that first day, I mean, I was exhausted. I just collapsed on the couch. But on the other hand, I was really excited because I had exercised, and I had, you know, I had never done that for decades.
So proof of concept that it could work.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So then after that, we walked to the second driveway and then third driveway, and one thing led to another.
Wow. Okay. Well, first athletic accomplishment besides getting to the mailbox, did you sign up for a short run or jog or bike ride?
Yeah. My family has been really supportive through all of this. And when I made it to the second driveway, I would text my children, woohoo, you know, I'm the second driveway. And when I walked my first 3 miles, so just short of a 5K, my younger son texted me back. And after I, you know, said woohoo, and he texted me back and he said, oh, great, Mom, you can do a 5K now. So, and he offered to walk
which is
with
what,
me.
Approximately 2.3 miles or what's the actual 2.8?
3.1.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, 3.1.
I lost track of my milk. Yeah, because a 10K is a 6.2 mile run. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, and I just walked. I was scared to death. I thought that 5Ks were only for fit people. And I thought, I was obese still. And, you know, I thought everybody would be pointing at me and saying, you know, look at the big person. And, but my son was very, very good at, helping me understand that nobody would be looking at me. And he said, you know, this isn't about going fast. It's just about getting across the finish line. And I did it. And I felt, you know, when I crossed that finish line, I felt like I had won the Boston Marathon. I mean, it was just, and I came in dead last. But it was just such a good feeling to know that I had crossed that finish line.
It was your personal best. And, you know, I think that's, you're competing against a field, but you're obviously competing against yourself to see, you know, for every person, I mean, there's some people climb Mount Everest and there are the people who make it to the mailbox and back.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, you've done triathlons. You know how supportive of the endurance community is.
Yeah.
And I just fell in love more with the endurance community than I did with exercise at that point. Just people were so positive and so encouraging and happy. And I just fell in love with that environment.
Well, you've actually gone on to become a USAT, United States Triathlon Association ambassador because of your kind of your amazing backstory, but also your pretty significant accomplishments, regardless of, you know, where you've come from. You've now attained the age of, what I'm calculating, 66, and you're competing in international competitions. So that in itself is a competition, much less the transformation you've undergone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was another transformation, actually. You start out when you're doing endurance events, you start out across the finish line, and then you just try to do personal best. And then, you know, if you decide, and there's nothing wrong with just trying to cross the finish line. You don't have to get competitive. But I was shocked to find out that I really loved competition, and I loved competing against other people and just seeing, you know, how my efforts compare. And yeah, so I fell in love with competing. Mm-hmm. And the first major race I did, I had no clue. Because again, when you're my age, there's not a lot of people in your age group to compete against at local races. So I never really knew how I stacked up against others. And then my first major large race, there were many people in my age group, and I came in middle of the pack. And I thought, oh my gosh, you know, if I, without taking triathlon seriously, if I could finish middle of the pack, what would happen if
You had some real athletic potential that was, you know, like the book title, The Athlete Inside, you know, locked in there within you was the latent ability that once expressed propelled you into the ranks of really serious competitors.
Yes. And that's where the name of the book, The Athlete Inside, came from. It was at that race when all of a sudden I thought, oh my gosh, maybe there is an athlete inside of me. And I certainly had the competitive spirit inside of me, which shocked me. So
just for our listening audience, just recapitulate, what is a triathlon? And, you know, there are different levels. There's a sprint. There's the Olympic distance triathlon, which unfortunately we won't see this summer, maybe next summer if we're lucky. It's become a regular Olympic event recently. Then there's what you undertook, which is a half Ironman, the 70.3 triathlon. And then there is the full Ironman. Can you kind of recapitulate what each of those entails?
Sure. So in triathlon, as you said, there's different events. I like to help people understand it by explaining it's like track and field, how there's different distances that you can run in track.
Yep.
So there's different distances that you can do in triathlon. And the one that gets the most publicity is the Ironman distance, and that's 140 miles. So it'll take people, you know, 17 hours to complete an Ironman. It's a long distance. And then the 70.3 is the next one down that I did, which took me six hours and 23 minutes to finish. And then there's the Olympic, which is half of that, and then the sprint, which is roughly half of that. So my sprint distance, it's a half mile swim.
1500 meters, right?
It's 750 in the sprint.
750 meters. Which is, let's break it down to laps in a standard pool.
Yeah.
25 lap pool. What is that, 750, yards or meters?
Yeah. So I think I'm doing the math in my head. I think that's 30 lengths of the pool.
Yeah.
And then it's a 12 mile bike and then a 3.1 mile run. Mm-hmm. So But the main difference, I found it so interesting last year when I did my first 70.3 Ironman. The sprint, which I'm more competitive at and I really like better, it's a sprint all the way.
You're just going to the max, yeah.
Yeah, you're right under red zone, like mm-hmm. the whole way. Yeah. And so one of the things I really like about it is that I have to really focus on what my body's telling me, because if I push too hard, mm-hmm. I won't get over the finish line if I push too hard too soon. Mm-hmm. So, and I've done that a couple times. That's kind of interesting. So, but then in the Ironman, in the Ironman distance and the half Ironman 70.3, you're not pushing red line.
Right.
So you're going.
You're just banging it out. You're banging it
yes,
out.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. But it's for a long time, yeah. which puts different kind of stress on your body. So they both hurt. But if you're competing, it's really different. But I like the mental challenge of really pushing myself up against the red line and having to deal with the pain that comes from pushing that hard. And then for your listeners, you doesn't have to be like that. In my first triathlon, I dog paddled part of the swim. I sat down in my first transition and ate a sandwich and brushed my hair.
You got her done.
Racing. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I went as slow as possible because yeah. I didn't yeah. know if I could get across the finish line. So you don't have to be fast. It's my son told me it's like just going out for a fun swim, a leisurely bike ride, and then a little jog. It doesn't have to be,
right.
you know, fast.
That's a good way to look at it. Although the Olympians, their tees, their transitions can be a matter of seconds as they rush out of the water. Jump on their bikes. They don't change clothes. They just jump right into the clips and they're off and running, you know, in a matter of 30 seconds, if that.
Yeah. Yeah. And faster than that. My goal for me is 21 seconds. So, they're amazing.
I gotta catch my breath a little bit. You know, I feel a little sloppy after being in the water. Okay, folks, at this point, let's pause and allow one of our sponsors an opportunity to share this important message with you. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with one of my personal solutions to better cardiovascular health, Berkeley Life Nitric Oxide Support Supplements. Just 2 capsules of Berkeley Life daily provide the dietary nitrate equivalent of 7 ounces of beets and can support cardiovascular health, maintain healthy blood pressure levels, and improve overall circulation. For more information and to purchase, just go to drhoffman.com/berkeleylife. drhoffman.com/berkeleylife. Berkeley Life Nitric Oxide Support Supplements. Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting our sponsors. And now back to our guest, Sue Reynolds, author of the new book, The Athlete Inside. What I'm going to ask you is a little different kind of question, which is, okay, you lost all this weight. A lot of people and a lot of people who were authorities on the subject of weight say, it's more about diet. Yeah, you know, you can exercise your brains out, but it's been said, and this is the meme, you can't run away from overweight or a bad diet. You can't run it off. So did you make profound changes in your eating habits, or did you somewhat pay attention to your diet and really was like much more about exercise?
No, for me, it started with the nutrition part, the diet. And I had no clue that I would ever end up exercising the way that I do. No, I would say for me, it was the majority of it was the nutrition plan.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And what, you know, just the broad outlines of that, because by the way, you know, we can talk ketogenic diet, very low carb diet, but man, when you're training for a half Ironman, you can't go without carbs. I mean, you need some carbohydrate fuel. I mean, maybe during, you know, lag phases in your training, yeah, you can go low carb, but you know, you're burning calories all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. So my first diet that I started was a diet where I just counted calories or points, and that diet I was successful on it. I lost 60 pounds just by lowering my calories. But what I did wrong was that I lowered my calories, but I was still eating all my calories and sweets.
Carbs.
So I would have carbs, yeah, and unhealthy carbs. So, yep. You know, I'd eat cookies and candy bars and I'd get up to whatever
limiting
I wanted.
Portions, you know, got you part of the journey, but it wasn't the answer.
Yeah. And I just couldn't sustain that. I mean, you can't, you know, eat candy bars and cookies for the rest of your life. So, If you're lowering calories, you need all those food groups, in my opinion. So then after I did that, I lost 60, and then I gained all the 60 back because it wasn't sustainable to me.
Okay,
yeah,
so your path was not a smooth, clear cut progression. There were some speed bumps.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the things I'm really proud of, because in all of my other diets, I think my first diet was I was 12, and they all were, I'd start losing weight and then I'd gain some back and then I'd give up. But this time I thought, okay, this plan isn't working for me. I need a different plan. And so I started a different approach. And my new approach was just whole foods, all food groups, so proteins, fats, carbs, and still limiting calories, but it was more I was paying attention to what I was eating rather than the calories. And I started eating 5 times a day. Mm-hmm. And then when I started training, I ate to fuel my workouts. So now I eat 6 times a day, but it's all around, fueling those workouts. So
and nutrient dense foods rather than, concentrated sugars and those kind of things may be good for if you're going to do a half Ironman. You may need some sugary beverage or some goop, some stuff that's like high calorie just to fuel your enterprise. If you're going to be out there for 6-7 hours, you're going to bonk if you don't get some caloric repletion. But
right.
For ordinary training purposes, you're probably being cautious about intake of those types of things.
Absolutely. And so carbs will be things like healthy carbs like oatmeal, I'm trying to think, oatmeal, whole wheat bread, things that are apples, things that are good carbs. And, and I thought when I started this program, I never imagined that I wouldn't crave the candy bars and cookies. But after like the first 3 weeks, I didn't crave those things. And I never dreamed that I would love an apple as much as I used to love a candy bar. But,
exercise in some ways, I mean, you can certainly build up a big appetite after a long run or bike ride or swim. But exercise in some ways precludes eating a lot of junk, which is going to weigh you down. So you tend to listen to your body and you obey its caloric imperatives, but you become more attuned to your real needs and there's less in the way of eating junk that's going to make you feel lethargic, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that was kind of a mindset shift for me that, I used to eat because it was fun and I, I enjoyed it. And it was a social thing that I did, but now I'm eating to fuel my training. And, and that was, just thinking about it. I mean, even if I weren't an athlete, I'd be thinking about what do I need to eat to have a healthy body?
Well, people spend an enormous amount on equipment and bikes. Everything is like, carbon pedals and ultra lightweight frames. And, then we forget that, if you've got 10 or 15 extra pounds around your midsection, that's as bad as having a clunky bike. So I think it really sort of puts you in touch with your performance and how your weight and your body fat stores may either support or impede your optimal performance. And when you're really at that edge of performance, which you seem to be exploring, you're really at that right at the highest edge of elite performance, you really become in touch with your body.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that was one of the things we really looked at is, and when I got to the place where I was around 150 pounds, we started looking very seriously at my ideal race weight. And, then the worry was I would weigh too little. So,
right. That too.
Yeah.
I mean, because you can actually, undernutrition can make you frail and make you susceptible to, something that happens as people age, which is sarcopenia, the loss of, good lean muscle, which will support your athletic performance. So you've got to support it. You can't fast and do this kind of thing.
Right.
It's not going to work. You're just going to bonk.
Right. So we went, I mean, the whole way I lost a steady 2 pounds a week, 1.5 to 2 pounds a week. And then when I got to 150, I started increasing my foods, mainly carbs. We added some more carbs back in to slow my weight loss. And then all along from 150 to 135, we were just very carefully looking at my performance and how I felt to see if that was, you know, going to be too little weight. But I got down to 135 and everything was fine. And my doctor asked me not to go below 135. So we stopped there. So that's going to be my race weight.
So, and you did all this, I think, with some expert coaching and the use of a trainer who could help, optimize your skills, maintain your flexibility, help you avert injuries, and also support yourself with the right kind of fuel.
Yeah, so I work with a coach, and I actually started working. His name is Brant Baylor. His program is called Dream Big Triathlon Training. And
Dream Big Triathlon Training, is that it?
Right. Okay. Dream Big. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he coaches athletes all over the world. He's very young. He's younger than my children. So
weird, isn't it?
Yeah, it was weird. So, but he's just amazing. But and I started working with him when I was still obese, quite obese. And to his credit, I mean I thought I had no clue a coach would want to work with me. I basically contacted him to find out what I was supposed to do in transition because I had figured out I wasn't supposed to eat a sandwich and brush my hair. But then I ended up with a coach, and he coaches several athletes who have progressed to worlds, but he has a real knack too for coaching athletes who are on a journey. He's coached several athletes who are overweight like me and helped them. He's coached one of his athletes had an organ transplant and is doing half Ironmans. Wow. I mean, just, yeah. And, you know, Brant works with him very closely and carefully. And yeah, so Brant, he works as hard as I do. And we kind of have a partnership. I like to tell him that he writes the perfect training plan. That's his job. And my job is to execute the plan that he writes perfectly. So, we just, you know, both really push ourselves, and it's just been a wonderful team of two.
It sounds like a great collaboration. Okay, well, so a lot of people are saying, well, here I am listening to this, and I'm locked down amidst COVID-19, and what relevance does this have to my life? My gym is locked up. They tell me to shelter in place. When we return in part two, we're going to talk a little bit about the lessons that you've learned, Sue, in helping you cope with COVID-19. And how has social distancing impacted your training, and what are some of the workarounds, and why this may ultimately be a great opportunity to get fit, because, you know, it's not a lot else we can do these days. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and our subject is The Athlete Inside. It's a new book by today's guest, triathlete Sue Reynolds, who's undergone an incredible personal transformation that you too can contemplate. And I hope you do. This is Intelligent Medicine.